Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
The big news this week, really, with regards to COVID is vaccinations and the vaccine rollout, and all residents who want to receive the COVID-19 vaccine in this country will be vaccinated by September. According to one of the junior ministers, there is an updated timeline for the rollout of a vaccine. Of course, that's been updated and published in recent months. But Kevin Connolly is a former chair of the National Immunisation Advisory Committee and joins us here on News Talk this afternoon. Kevin, can I just ask you about the news there that Eamon mentioned in the news bulletin just at 1 o'clock? Leo Varadkar saying that Pfizer BioNTech could be slowing down production now with the COVID-19 vaccine. Do we know, is this going to affect our allocation now of the doses?
I didn't actually hear that, there are normally some slowdowns in supply chains with any vaccine that's been introduced. So because I don't know the details of this alleged slowdown, I'm not fully able to comment on that. But there will be blips, not only in the supply chain, but there may be concerns over vaccine safety and so on. And on the other hand, I'm cautiously optimistic the way things are working out at the moment.
So is this something that can typically happen when there's a rollout of a vaccination scheme?
Yes, there can be some production problems, and they can happen if the quality control suggests maybe listen the slowdown the production, because the most important thing with regard to vaccine production is that the vaccine is as safe as it possibly can be. So in a funny way, it might be a good sign that the safety is and the quality has been...
Yeah, and I understand I'm asking you that question blind, because it literally has, you know, we just heard it there in the past 6 minutes. Yeah. But I suppose the other element to this too is that the Health Service Executive plans now to give, you know, the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. It'll be 28 days now after the first. I think it was 21 days initially, and now it's been moved to 28. This follows on from recommendations from the World Health Organization and two from yourselves at the National Immunisation Advisory Committee. Why is that, Kevin?
Well, the licence document says that it can be given from 21 days, and the trials included people from 19 to 42 days. So the vaccine is as effective given after 21 days or 28 days. That's the first thing. And secondly, it fits in with the schedule for this Moderna vaccine, and if there's consistency in advice, it means that there's less likely to be errors in vaccine administration.
And will that help in any way in terms of the number of people that you have to, you know, physically actually administer vaccinations? Will this help to expedite that or speed it up?
No, it'll more help in the number of people who are vaccinated, because if there's a slightly bigger gap, it means that more people can be included in the supplies that were given. Now, the implementation isn't really within my remit, but my understanding is that it was to enable more people to be vaccinated safely.
Okay. I suppose the big news really, you know, this week, Kevin, in terms of vaccines, I think we're second in Europe in terms of our rollout so far of the vaccination programme. I heard Stephen Donnelly, the health minister, indicating just this week that up to 4 million people could be vaccinated now by the end of September, and still plans, is it, to vaccinate about 700,000 even by the end of March. So is that good progress, or could more be done?
No, I think it's much better than most people thought. And at this stage, even though there's the grim background of the number of people in intensive care and the number of deaths, I'm cautiously optimistic. And there's three reasons for my optimism. And I think I'd put number one is that people are now realising that we all have a role in the pandemic programme, in that if we comply better with the advice regarding social distancing, cutting down contacts, mask wearing and so on, we're doing a lot to reduce the disease incidence, and to reduce the pressure on hospitals. The second thing is what you've just mentioned is that the rollout has been carried out in an extremely efficient manner with good uptake of vaccine among the people for whom it is offered. And the third is that the third vaccine, the AstraZeneca one, it's expected that that will be licensed and that supplies would be made available by the end of January. So that will mean that once the very high-risk people and frontline workers are vaccinated, then the next sequence can be followed and so on down the road. So that will speed up vaccination of all the people for whom the vaccine is recommended.
Yeah, you mentioned, that third vaccine. Like, are these predictions and projections that we're talking about, these figures, are they based on the current vaccines that are available, or does that take into account, like what you mentioned, the third vaccine and even I saw mention of Johnson & Johnson too this week?
No, I don't know, because I'm not part of the mathematical modelling, but I expect account has been taken of when the vaccines are expected to be licensed. And the licensing has been very rapidly done, but exactly as much concern over safety has been taking place. So the expectations are that the vaccine programme should be completed certainly by the third, fourth quarter this year.
Are you expecting that the rollout, you know, the way we've had the number of people who'll be vaccinated, obviously those on the front line, people living in long-term residential stay and nursing homes, do you expect that list for when people will be able to be vaccinated, Kevin, that that'll be updated?
Oh, that's been updated all the time. NIAC's role is to make recommendations to the Department of Health regarding the vaccines and prioritisation groups. And as those first groups are vaccinated, and while they're being vaccinated, we're looking at the prioritisation list. We've had input from a lot of people involved in vaccination, like the National Immunisation Office and so on, and also from parents of children with problems, from those dealing with cancer patients who require urgent treatment and so on. So virtually every day, NIAC would have discussions both among ourselves and with, say, the National Immunisation Office, the Department of Health. And the list will be updated as more information comes. And for instance, the particular chapter in the Immunisation Guidelines for Ireland was uploaded yesterday in its third version since the middle of December. So it's a dynamic field.
Yeah, it's funny, Kevin, because when we mentioned at the start of the show today we were going to be talking to you, we've a lot of questions in from some of our listeners here to the News Talk text line. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at the questions, because everybody can make a case for why they're essential and why they deserve, you know, to be fast-tracked to the top of the list. You know, everybody, you know, I've one listener here says they've asthma, but otherwise they're quite healthy. But due to the asthma and their essential worker, they should be moved into the second tier. I've another listener who says that although they're 60, they've underlying conditions, they should be moved up to the second category. Like, is everybody kind of lobbying now to get fast-tracked?
There's a huge number of people who have concerns that they should be vaccinated earlier, and that's absolutely understandable. The problem is that there are limited supplies. So when the sequencing of the prioritising is being made, it's a sort of a Sophie's choice. Like, how do you weigh up somebody who needs an urgent the surgery for their cancer versus carers of children with multiple needs versus key people who, if they get sick, cannot be replaced, like the people who deliver the vaccines to the various places. So it's an extremely difficult situation. And what NIAC do in their recommendations is to try and match what we know are the supplies to the people who have been decided to be more vulnerable. It would be lovely if everybody could be vaccinated next week.
Well, for instance, now, just, you know, what about the teachers? Will they get moved up, Kevin, do you think? Because a lot of them are concerned about going back into the classroom.
Well, they would be moved up if they were at increased risk of getting the disease themselves or of transmitting it to children. But unfortunately, at the moment, we don't know if the vaccines will reduce transmission. But they have made submissions. Their submissions are being looked at. NIAC make the recommendations, and then the final decision is made by the Department of Health
messages
and Government.
It's
a very difficult situation. Yeah,
absolutely. And look, sure, look, everybody is, you know, everyone sees themselves as top of the list. I have messages in here too from guards. We're on the front line daily, over 700 out since Christmas with COVID. Why aren't we been boosted up to the second tier? Ben has got in touch as well, Kevin. He says, if I get a Pfizer vaccine, can I then get the Moderna vaccine as my second dose if it becomes available? Or should people be getting the same vaccine both times?
The recommendation now is that you get the same vaccine because there isn't evidence that the vaccines are interchangeable.
Okay. One of the other points as well that we were interested in talking about today is, in an effort to try and maybe speed up the rollout of vaccines, there's probably people who've experienced, you know, maybe in the medical field, perhaps they've retired from general practice and who would be in a position to actually administer vaccines. Just take a listen to the Thánaistealaí of Radcar speaking to Kieranna here in the Hard Shoulder yesterday.
Have you any plans to go back and do some work on the front line?
Well, I am. I am available, and the Medical Council extended my registration and that of other non-practicing doctors. Mm. So I've said to the HSE that I'm available, certainly to help with the vaccine clinics if they need me. I'd be more than willing to do it. I know I'm part of a group of 150 or so non-practicing retired GPs who are willing to do it. They don't need us yet because there aren't enough vaccines in the country yet. But we might get to that point in the next couple of weeks, and I'm certainly available. I know it's not the kind of frontline work in ICU or HDU which I'd like to be doing, but to be honest, I'm out of date and I'm not qualified for that, but I would be qualified for some areas and happy to help out
it
there.
It matters nonetheless. You could be given the Taoiseach his jab.
Yeah, so Leo Varadkar is willing and available, Kevin, to administer the vaccine if so required. But if there's other people in a similar position to the Thánaiste, is that something they can do, or how do they go about doing that?
I think absolutely, as long as they're not in a vulnerable age group, now, which I am, I wouldn't be allowed because I'm too vulnerable. But certainly, if there are people who feel that they would be able to offer their services, they should contact the HSE.
So you can just put yourself forward, or maybe if you need to re-register, you can do that and just contact the HSE?
Yeah, I expect there is a process like there was initially when there were, I think, over 50,000 people offered to be vaccinators. Now I offered and was turned down.
You were turned down, Kevin. But, did you want to do it?
Age release.
Right, yeah. I have a text message in here too. Brian in Dublin, the real frontline workers are the medical workers. It's not the teachers and the guards. Can you ask Kevin, does he know how many are being vaccinated every day, please?
I don't, but my understanding is that there's been 70,000 plus vaccinated since the 30th or 31st of December.
And you think that's satisfactory progress?
Yeah, very big. That's excellent. That's excellent. As you mentioned at the start, I think we're the second behind Denmark in the numbers vaccinated per million population.
Okay, all right.
So I think we should be very proud of the work that's been done by the vaccinators and the vaccine programme.
Former Chair of the National Immunisation Advisory Council, Kevin Connolly, thanks for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth and truly delicious chocolate experience.